Hey, Elizabeth, how you doing? It's been a while.
I know, it's going okay. I had a baby and she's in daycare and we constantly have some sort of illness.
Right. I think daycares are kind of like petri dishes.
It absolutely is. And then it goes through, you know, every single family. Mm-hmm. So I had to take her to the doctor today and had to pay a copay and, you know, the bills just add up.
Yeah. Do you have any money left on your Benny card this year?
I am totally out of money already on my Benny card. So it's now coming directly out of my checking account.
We got to sort it out.
Yes.
I think there's some people who can tell us more how this all works.
Okay, let's do it.
Welcome to UVA for your benefit. It's that time of year again when we ask you to think about your benefits. And today we're talking about flexible spending accounts and health savings accounts, all those money parts of UVA health benefits, the ways to actually pay for your care. Well, to help us dice through all this, we're joined in the studio by two benefit specialists at UVA Human Resources, Brandon Kenty and also Margaret Marsh. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
So let's start off with some important definitions of what we're going to talk about today. Brandon, can you define for us an HSA or a health savings account?
Absolutely. HSA, health savings account, is tied to the basic health plan. You can only have the HSA if you're enrolled in the basic health plan. And it lets you put pre-tax dollars away to pay for health expenses.
All right. And can you also define what an FSA is or a flexible spending account?
So there's three different flexible spending accounts. There's the full flexible spending account, which is you're only eligible to have that if you're in the choice or value health plan. And there's the limited flexible spending account, which you're only eligible for that one if you're in the basic health plan. Then there's the dependent daycare flexible spending account, in which you can have that no matter which basic choice or value health plan that you have. And the FSAs are use or lose plans, so you must use the funds by the end of the year or you lose them.
Margaret, can you also define for us a Benny card or a benefit card?
So the Benny card is the red card that many of you have in your wallet. Those cards are great. Carry them with you and you can use it when you have eligible health expenses. If you go to the doctor's office, if you go to the pharmacy, any of those, you pay with this card and it'll take money out of your account, whichever one is appropriate.
So if you have an HSA or an FSA, you're going to be using a benefit card.
That's exactly. You can
use a benefit card.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you can also submit claims online as well if you aren't interested in using a benefit card. Is that right?
Yes, you can do that. If you do that, you're going to pay up front. And then when you submit the request for reimbursement and you provide receipts, then they will send you, they will actually deposit money in your checking account.
And can you also define for us what a seed fund is?
Okay, so the seed fund or the seed money is the money that the University of Virginia gives to employees up front at the beginning of the year if they have a health savings account. If you are enrolled in basic health employee only, you will receive $1,000 at the beginning of the year. You get it after your first paycheck run of the calendar year. If you have employee plus children, employee plus spouse, or family coverage, you receive $1,500. And that is put into your HSA so you can use it for eligible health expenses.
I actually am kind of curious. Could you all explain how pre-tax dollars work and how the employee would actually save money by having one of these accounts set up?
When you use pre-tax dollars, that means that when you are paid, when you receive your biweekly or your monthly paycheck, you have money taken off the top of that. Contributions go into your FSA or your HSA, and they're taken before taxes are assessed on your paycheck. So you save money because you're not being taxed on this money that's going into your savings account.
We've divided this podcast into two sections just so it's incredibly clear what accounts we are talking about because HSA and FSA do kind of sound similar. So our first section is actually going to be about the HSA or the health savings account. So if you are not interested in having the basic health plan, you might want to fast forward a little bit. All right, Brandon and Margaret. Can you tell us what the benefits are of having a health savings account?
Yep. So again, a health savings account is pre-tax dollars that are put away into a savings account for you to use for healthcare expenses.
In addition to that, this money carries over year after year after year. So you can put the money aside in 2018 and you don't have to spend it until, well, before you die. It'd
be hard to spend after you die.
It's your money. You take it with you.
You can?
Yes, you can.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's hysterical, actually. I didn't know you could leave an HSA to somebody.
Yeah. Yes.
Does that person have to only spend it on Band-Aids?
I'm not sure.
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know. I actually have a beneficiary for my HSA. If you leave the University of Virginia, you take it with you when you retire. So this is your money. You can use it for eligible health expenses at any point in the future.
So another huge benefit of having an HSA is the university is giving you $1,000 a year.
If you're employee only coverage, you get $1,000 per year. And if you're anything more than that, employee, child, spouse, or family, you get $1,500 from the university.
And the reason they give you that money is to help you pay for the deductible, because the HSA is part of basic health, as we learned earlier. And the basic health is a high deductible health plan. So you have to pay the first $2,000, $4,000 of your expenses before the health plan kicks in and pays anything that's not preventive. Remember, all preventive care is paid at 100% if, in fact, it's truly preventive. So this money that the university gives you, the $1,000 or the $1,500, you can use to pay towards your deductible. And you've got lower premiums also in the basic health, so you're saving money in lots of different ways.
Mm-hmm. I know one thing that some people I know who've switched from that middle premium plan to the basic health plan, though, they get real sticker shock when they get those first bills from the doctor's office. Like, hold up, this used to be $30, now it's like $120. What's going on with that? But it's because of that.
That's exactly right. If they look at how much money they actually spend in their premiums, how much they're saving there, and then guess what happened with that $1,000 or the $1,500 that was put in there to start with, you know, you're not, it's a different mindset. Once you get used to it, do the calculations, you know, on paper, and you see how much you're going to save, then it's the sticker shock is worth it.
Can you tell us about what the employee can contribute to the HSA?
Yep. So if you have employee-only coverage, you can contribute up to $3,500 in 2019. If you have family coverage, you can contribute up to $7,000 in 2019. Both of those, you can contribute an additional $1,000 if you're age 55 and over, and all those limits include what the university gives you. So if you're employee-only coverage and you got $1,000 from the university, then you yourself, you would only want to put in $2,500 so that you don't exceed that $3,500 limit.
Obviously, you can only have an HSA, a health savings account, if you have the basic health plan. Is there anybody else who can't have an HSA for some reason?
There are some other populations, and the most important one, I think, is anyone who is eligible for Medicare or Medicaid. If you have either of those insurances, then you are not eligible to put money in an HSA, which means you're not eligible to enroll in basic health. So as an employee, when you turn 65, you need to make sure you know whether or not you're enrolled in Medicare or not. You don't have to enroll. Some folks think that they need to do that, but the minute you enroll in Medicare, you can no longer contribute money to an HSA, which means you can no longer be in our basic health option.
And it's always worth checking the website, of course. It's hr.virginia.edu. You can just navigate over to staff and faculty benefits to answer all the detailed questions that we can't cover in this podcast. Elizabeth, you want to cover FSAs as well, flex spending accounts.
Yes, this section is going to be about flexible spending accounts. Margaret and Brandon, can you tell us about the benefits of having an FSA? And when do you actually set up a flexible spending account?
So you set up a flexible spending account when you're either newly hired or during open enrollment?
So the benefits of having a flexible spending account are ones we've spoken about for the HSA, really. The tax benefits is the biggest thing. With the flexible spending account, you have to use it or lose it. So you have to be very careful about how much you set for your goal amount for each year. During the open enrollment period, you can go in and elect up to $2,500 for the health FSA. And you might want to look at your prior year's expenses, your how much you paid in copays, deductibles, et cetera, when you set that up, because you need to use all of that money by March 15th of the following year. You need to use all of that money or you lose it.
All right. So it's open enrollment time. And you've got, let's say, the medium or the high monthly premium accounts, the value or the choice health benefits accounts. You can enroll in FSAs, the flex spending accounts. And there's a couple kinds that you can enroll in. Then there's the health one that you were just talking about. And then there's also these dependent care flex spending accounts. What do those cover, the dependent care ones?
So the dependent care account will cover daycare for a dependent under the age of 13, or it can also cover disabled adult children or elders who live with you and are claimed on your tax return. You have to have already put aside the money. It has to have come out of your paycheck in order for you to use it. There isn't any money that your money doesn't go in there at the beginning of the year. That's a It accumulates as it comes out of your paycheck, whereas with your health care FSA, your full health care FSA, that money that you are saying is your goal amount and you're going to contribute through each of your paychecks, that's made available after your first paycheck of the calendar year for you to spend.
And these are two completely separate accounts as well. You can't use dependent care to go pay for a clinic visit, just like you can't use a health FSA to go pay for your kid's daycare.
You're exactly right. They're entirely separate. The money is not mixed, and you need to make sure you understand that when you sign up, because if you sign up for the wrong one, these are governed by IRS, and so you can't change it once you've made that decision.
All right. Well, you're listening to UVA For Your Benefit. My name is Nathan. I'm here with Elizabeth, and we are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a second with voicemail from listeners just like you. You're listening to UVA For Your Benefit, a service of the University of Virginia and podcasting on the TEEJ FM network. That's TEEJ.FM. UVA For Your Benefit is sponsored by Chard Snyder, which administers employee benefit plans, including the flex spending accounts and health savings accounts here at the university. Find out more at hr.virginia.edu. Just click on benefits and then benefit savings accounts. Well, welcome back to UVA For Your Benefit. It's time, that time where we check the voicemails, questions from callers like you who want to know more about how FSAs and HSAs work. So let's take the first one.
So I know open enrollment is coming up. I'm on that mid-level plan, but I've never bothered with setting up an FSA before. I don't know, and I don't have a ton of medical expenses, just occasional doctor checkups and whatnot. Should I consider having an FSA?
If you spend at least $120 a year, you certainly can. That's the minimum contribution per year. And you will save taxes on money no matter how much it is that you put aside.
I would just be careful, because those plans are use or lose. So be careful in the amount that you elect. If you don't use it, you will lose it.
So play it conservatively.
Yes.
Well, let's go to another voicemail.
My Bene card stopped working and it seems to be suspended. How can I get my Bene card reactivated?
You know, that would be a really good question for Julie at Chard Snyder. Why don't we see if we can get her on the phone?
All right, let me dial it.
Good afternoon. Thank you for calling Chard Snyder. This is Julie. How may I help you?
Hi, Julie. This is Nathan Moore at WTJU at the University of Virginia. How are you?
Hi, Nathan. Good. How are you?
I'm great. The question we had was, so why did my Bene card get suspended and how can I get it reactivated?
That is a great question. So when a person swipes their card, the transactions, depending on where they go and what their the services are, it's going to flag sometimes for substantiation. So one person might say, hey, I just went to the hospital, or I went to the doctor. It seems pretty obvious that this is a eligible expense, but we don't actually see, we can't see what it is that was done. So in those situations, because of how it's coded, it will come up in need for substantiation. So when that's the case, a person will get a notification. So typically that's emailed to them explaining what it is that they need to do. They can also see that if they log into their account. It'll be on their account as well, or if they use their mobile app and they log in, it'll be a big alert there so they can see that request. If for some reason they miss it, usually there's two more that are sent to them, and then at some point that card will go on hold. And that kind of gets their attention too, so they can call in or they can go log in and look at their account and see what it is that's needed. So typically it's just that an itemized receipt is needed, which would show the doctor, the provider's name, what the service was, the date of service, and, you know, just specifics. The person receiving the service would have to be on that itemized receipt. So occasionally, sometimes a person will send something in right away and it'll come to us and it'll show that, let's say that it was in the wrong service or the plan year. So, or it was just in an ineligible expense. In that situation, the card would go on hold. We'd ask them to provide more documentation or actually provide either a payback, or they can submit for another expense that would basically offset that, that would be eligible. One of the things that's really helpful, Nathan, is if a person, once they've logged into their account, they can go ahead and download the mobile app. And with the mobile app, there's all kinds of great resources there. They can see the amount that they have in their account. They can really see all the details of their account. If it's a matter of just taking a picture or submitting a receipt, maybe that they've already downloaded onto their phone, they can just submit that right there on their phone. It's so simple.
I can vouch for that mobile app as well. I've used that a number of times myself. It's great. It's really helpful.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
I will say,
that's good to hear.
One other way I know, maybe from personal experience, that mm-hmm. a card can be suspended is if you use it to pay for a previous year's expenses.
Exactly. That's one of those things that we would let you know, like, oh, this was not eligible, so you'll need to either pay it back or offset that expense. But yeah, that's kind of the checks and balances that we have. And, you know, it's not convenient for some people. They're like, why did I get this? It's obvious. But we, you know, we're just trying to keep everybody in compliance, and that includes the participants. We want to help them as well. And just making sure that everybody's good with the IRS. So that's kind of our help. And we always have customer service here. So if anybody ever has questions, I would never want anyone to get frustrated with that. But we encourage them to call us and let us help resolve that.
All right, Julie, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
All right, cool. Back to the voicemail box. Next up.
So I've got about $100 left in my FSA, but I don't have any medical bills left for this year. What can I do with my money? How long do I have to spend it?
Yep. So you have until March 15th of the following year to use the money. You can use it on any eligible healthcare expense, and you can also go online. There's an FSA store where you can spend that money down. But if you don't use it by March 15th, you will lose it.
Where do you go to where do you find this FSA store? What is that?
There is a link on our website, and there's a link on Schwarzenegger's website. But it's basically where you can buy medical items.
What does that count? It's like stack up on Band-Aids here? And
sure.
Or you can just go to the drugstore or the buy-it-all store and buy those medical sorts of things.
Yeah.
Band-Aids are good. That's always worked for me. I have waterproof Band-Aids. I've got, you know, the ones with little pictures on them. I got them all.
Do Band-Aids expire?
I don't think so.
All right, Elizabeth. So we've had a lot of conversation here today about health savings accounts, flex money accounts. I feel like I know a little bit more about where the money ought to go and why. Tell me, what do you make of this?
Well, this really just tells me even more that having a flex spending account or having a health savings account can really help your budget.
The one that I was amazed by when I started working here, you know, as a parent, I was paying daycare costs and preschool costs. I mean, that dependent care FSA is terrific. I mean, it helps the bottom line as much as any benefit we've got.
As a mom with a one-year-old, I can't imagine not setting up a dependent daycare account. I also think something else we've learned from this conversation is that, you know, during open enrollment, we really all need to be going in and checking to make sure that we still want this money going into our FSA, or we still want the same deductions going into an HSA. Because if you make no changes, the same thing is going to happen the next year that is happening this year. So just another reminder to go in and make sure that you still want this money going into these accounts.
In the same amount.
Yes.
Or different amount.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so in the next episode, we're going to just blaze through all kind of things. Open enrollment, vision, dental prescriptions. It's going to be fun.
It'll be great. It'll prep us all for open enrollment this year.
Cool. Well, thanks for tuning in. And as always, visit hr.virginia.edu for all the details of all these plans and all the savings accounts that we have as staff and faculty benefits here at the university. I'm Nathan Moore.
I'm Elizabeth Fiola.
Take care.